Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Bob, it's official. The quarter poll has been passed. Six games into their season. Let's take a little stock of these Steelers. It's interesting because they could be headed very shortly for a profound change at the most important position of all, right?
It's a possibility. I don't think it's going to happen now, but I think it is a possibility. Certainly one that Mike Tomlin will consider down the road.
Percent chance that Tomlin goes to Russell Wilson for the Jets game, in your opinion?
You mean to start?
Yep. Give me a number.
I would say 20%.
Chris?
40.
51. I think he's making that move.
You think he's going to make that move?
Yeah, I do. I think he wants to see what he has in Russell Wilson. I think he loves Russell Wilson. I remember when Seattle came here all those years ago, we were raving about him. And I think Wilson actually had a bounce back year last year. And I think Tomlin wants to see this offense with him. Although the offense is coming off a 30-point game. When was their last 30-point game, Bob?
Oh, it goes back to 2020, I think, right?
Yes, it was in the 2020 season. I believe, was it against the Colts that year?
I don't recall who it was against, but it's been a long time.
I think it was that late season game against the Colts. They only had 28. Their last 30-point game was against the Bengals.
2020?
Yeah, 36-10. They did have 30 in the playoffs that year, but regular season, I believe that was the last one because they never had one under Canada, right?
No, not one.
Do you know who caught the Steelers' touchdown passes that day, Bob?
In 2020?
Yes. Wrong. Deontay Johnson, Juju. And there were two by who? Limits? Wrong. Chase Claypool.
That's the thing. You would not imagine it was that guy. So I was trying to think of every other alternative not named Claypool.
They beat the hell out of Joe Burrow that day. Ben had, 27 of 46 for 333 and four touchdowns, Bob. Those were the days.
Those were the days, my friend.
And they were about to end.
You
and little
they'd
did
never
we know.
End.
Well, they did end, yes. TJ had two sacks. Bobby Spillane had a sack. Bud Dupree had a sack. Remember him, Bob?
Yes.
Joe Hayden had three passes
this year. What play did he make? Was it against Dallas? He was with Dallas now. Where is he? He made a play against the Steelers recently.
Who?
Bud Dupree.
Oh, I forget where he is now. Yeah, he was just against the Steelers. He just Atlanta? Where is he?
I thought it was the Chargers.
Chargers.
That's
right.
Where it was, yeah.
Not doing a whole lot, but he did make an interception that day. Remember the ball popped in the air, Bob?
Oh, yeah. It was a big play.
He did have two sacks against Kansas City, so it's not like he's doing nothing. So your thought, what happened? Who are you? What's going on here?
It's like a very important phone call.
This is incredulent. What's happened here? We opened the show with Bob taking a private plane out in L.A., remember that?
I can't imagine how great that would have been.
Oh.
Fly over Malibu in a private plane.
Yes. What a treat that must have been for everyone involved.
Man, I do like visiting out there. I've been out there twice. Really fun.
Did you play wiffle ball out there?
I did not. I went to the Steeler game against the Rams last year.
Yeah.
And I went to the Rose Bowl a couple of years ago as well.
That's a bucket list item for me. He's into the Rose Bowl,
Bob. That was a very important call I had to take.
And I completely understand.
It was a distress call I had to take.
None of my business. I hope everything's okay. Is it?
Yeah, I hope so. That's all. Let's go.
Have you been to the Rose Bowl, Bob?
Yes. The thing I hated about the Rose Bowl, down on the field, I was there for Penn State, Oregon, when they played that game back when Kajana Carter was
there.
Yes. And we had if you're on the sidelines, you have to kneel the whole game. You can't stand up because the seats are so low that the people who pay can't see over you if you do.
You've been to the Big House?
Yes.
That's another bucket list for me.
Yeah, there's some great places to go watch college football.
You've been to the Big House?
I have not yet.
Why don't we take a road trip there?
I think we should.
Now Michigan sucks.
The next time Penn State plays there, I'll go.
All right. Let's do a little quarter report, gentlemen. We're 6 games in to this Steelers season. They're 4-2. There's good news on various fronts here. I think they have a great chance to be 6-2, which for me was the bare minimum that they could go into the break at 6-2. Because that second half schedule, even though the Browns stink, is brutal. It's absolutely brutal. They have to pocket every win they can get, Bob. And I think this Jets game is a giant game for future playoff considerations.
There's no question it is. Both of these games have to be won.
Yeah.
And build up that little insulation that gives you chances when this schedule gets really difficult.
The Commanders game is harder than we would have thought before the season. The Browns game should be easier than what we thought before the season. Oh my God, do they stink, Bob. Then you've got the Ravens twice, Eagles on the road, Kansas City at home, and Cincy to finish the season, plus a game at Cincy. It's a brutal late season schedule. There's no way around that. So every win that they pocket is critical. I think 4-2 is pretty good right now. Pretty good. If I would have projected ahead, I would have said that's what you need to be, even though 4 of those games were on the road. So simply the bottom line here, are you happy with 4-2? I am.
Yes. Given everything that's happened, all the injuries, the quarterback situation, yes, I'm happy with 4-2, and any Steeler fan should be as well, regardless of how they got it. You can make cases all day long about every game. You know, they caught Kirk Cousins at a very good time, first game of the year. Bo Nix, they caught him at a good time. He's getting better. Whatever the case may be,
yeah,
they won.
All right, then let's do some categories here. Is it obvious that the team MVP is TJ Watt? Is there any other choice?
No other choice.
Chris? Obvious choice?
Obvious choice.
All right, then how about we ask this? Who's the team MVP other than TJ Watt? Bob, I'll have you go first. That's a toughie,
ain't it? So I'm going to say Justin Fields, only because I don't know what people thought of him coming into the season. Most people thought he was the backup and he wouldn't play as much. But I think given his ability with those legs and what he's done in some of these games, that I'd have to go with him second.
I agree. And that is not, you know, an unqualified endorsement of everything that Justin Fields has done. But I thought they handed him the ball against the Chargers. They passed more than they ran that day, and he helped win them a game. He was spectacular in the second half against Indy, and I think they might lose yesterday's game with Russell Wilson. I think that Fields was under siege and we didn't even notice it. Some of his best plays were just subtly getting away from pressure and not getting sacked. He was behind the sticks a lot because of his offensive line. I thought he helped them win yesterday, even though he almost had a couple of really damaging mistakes and luckily escaped both. The interception at the end of the first half, the lateral to Warren in the second half. So he has accounted for 10 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to
like about
it.
That's more than Kenny Pickett accounted for all last year. With apologies to the Kenny Pickett fans who are on me on Twitter for that, he's better already than Pickett ever was in a steel uniform.
I agree. And that's why he is the second best choice for MVP.
Who's the LVP, the least valuable player so far? Limits, we'll let you go first here. It's a toughie, ain't it? By the way, the other choice for MVP is Chris Boswell.
Yes. He won the Atlanta game by himself.
Well, he's outscored the entire Steeler team. Nobody else has more points.
Maybe he is the second choice for MVP behind
TJ. Yeah, but I mean, that's a specialized thing. I get it. His importance is often taken for granted because it's always there. It's reliable.
But, I mean, he's cranking out.
He is.
He won the Falcons game. He's cranking out 50-plus yarders all the time, Bob.
I know that, but I'm looking at someone who plays every single down.
Who's the LVP?
Can I say injuries?
No.
Not one player? No.
I mean, you
the
could.
The blocking sled? Can we count the blocking sled as the LVP?
The least valuable player or the least valuable person, if you want to pick somebody, a coach or a front office person. I'll let you think about that, Limits. Who's your least valuable person so far, Bob?
I would have to say George Pickens. I expected big things from him, and it's not happened. Now, that's a combination of passing game, other things to go on. I want to see more of George Pickens, and I think everyone should want to see more of George Pickens, including George Pickens. So he would be mine.
That's a tough one for me because he still made seven big plays this year of 20. Is it 20 yards or longer? Is that how they define that? Big plays? Yeah, 20.
Then you can say the group of wide receivers other than George Pickens.
No, whatever it's least the case. Valuable player. Least valuable person. Why can't we pick one person?
All right,
person?
Well, then if it's that's lack of production, I'll go Van Jefferson based on what they expected from him.
Okay, I'll go Patrick Queen, even though I thought he played well yesterday.
He got better. He's getting better as the year goes on, I think.
I think you can't discredit Broderick Jones as the LVP at this point
either.
You
know what? I changed my vote. I changed my vote. It's Broderick Jones. He's been bad, Bob.
Yeah. Again, another guy you expect a lot from.
Would you agree with that?
Yes, but I mean, all those wide receivers, that's frustrating to see. They're on the roster. Nobody's contributing much.
Biggest surprise. It could be anything, Bob. By the way, before we go any further, I meant to do this earlier. I loved the fact that Tomlin opened his news conference post-game yesterday, unsolicited, praising Steeler Nation for what they did. Again, it's one of the greatest spectacles in all of sports. Imagine what other people think when they tune in to a Steeler game or even see a highlight of a Steeler game. And it literally looks like a home game with all it's like terrible towel Mardi Gras limits. It's incredible.
The
Bob.
Raiders are doing the silent count in their own stadium.
It's one of the biggest spectacles in American sports is
that's
Steeler
the
Nation.
Second time that's happened. It happened in Atlanta too.
Just love it. All right. The biggest surprise so far of anything that's happened for me, it's that Russell Wilson hasn't taken a snap. You?
Yes, I would agree with that, but except, I'll go a different way. I'll say Dante Jackson, three interceptions, on pace for over 10.
I love that answer, and I commend you for it. But if you would have told me before the season that a medically cleared Russell Wilson, 3 weeks medically cleared to play, wouldn't take a snap, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, I'm surprised that Omar Khan is not traded for a wide receiver, but Russell Wilson not playing at all is definitely number one.
Biggest disappointment so far, for me, it's the O-line injuries and the fact that George Pickens is at it again with the pouting, all that crap.
I would say O-line also. I mean, to me, that's the one thing that, you know, last year they went through the entire season with no injuries. And now all of a sudden there's a makeshift guy every week, it seems like, and guys are playing out of position, so it would have to be that.
Yeah, I'd say O-line. Three guys are out for the year. It's not good.
Best moment of the year through a quarter of the season, Bob. Mine is the Najee run from yesterday. Now, that was
spectacular. That might be it. I'm trying to think of anything else that happened.
You had the Calvin Austin TD. You've had some big defensive stops. Whatever you like.
Okay, I'm going to say one that, and again, this is incomplete because it did not turn out to be, but if Landon Roberts jars that ball loose last week,
yes,
and they recover it, we're talking about that play in a big win. That play would be right up there with anything any defensive player has done in a key moment of a key game.
I
given
agree.
It was the last play
that might have been the best play of the year, regardless of whether the team won or lost.
That was the penalty that Broderick Jones, the callback, the Justin Fields rolling out 40-yard bomb to George Pickens down the field early in the season is another one that comes to mind. That
we're talking about
candidate.
The best moment. The best moment.
I know. That was one of the best moments that opened my eyes. That said, wow, Justin Fields might be able to do this.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you on that one. The worst moment of the year, Bob. I think it was the Dak Prescott touchdown on fourth down.
I didn't like the way they defended that. I thought they should have gone after him. I don't like giving a guy who is pretty good at, if you allow him to stand back there and wait for somebody to get open, he's going to put the ball in the money, and he did in that play to Tolbert. What was the question again?
The worst moment of the year.
The worst moment of the year. I'm trying to think of the Indy game.
I mean,
I would say the first two drives of the Indianapolis game.
That's not a moment.
I know. Moment.
You just can't admit it was the Dak play, can you?
But the Dak play was a good play by him. He was allowed to do it, and they did
it. I know,
it.
But if you're rooting for the Steelers, the game comes down to one play, and you lose to the Cowboys on a fourth down play. I'm not going to try and change your mind, Bob.
I needed to look back at some of the other games. I can't remember all the specifics about the games now. So
limits?
You could pick six different plays in that final drive against the Indianapolis Colts, but how about Justin Fields running 20 yards backwards and fumbling at midfield?
That's a good pick, Bob, for the worst moment of the year.
I forgot about that play. That was a crazy play.
Wonderful.
And that's
pick
one of those
by you, Chris.
Where he recovered that fumble, and if he doesn't, that's a whole different story.
One of my cousins is named Chris.
Is he?
Yeah.
So when we look at the AFC, Bob, and limits, do we still consider the Steelers to be a playoff team? And would you adjust your preseason record at all?
No, I'm not adjusting anything.
What'd you have them at?
10-7.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think that's probably in the range they're going to end up with. As far as the AFC, to me, there are three elite teams that I look at here. And I'm going to put Kansas City, obviously, in it, even though I think Kansas City has done more with their defense than offense. I think if you look at the offense, it's going to get better. It has to, but it's only like mid-range, 14th, I think, in the NFL in points, but their defense has been off the charts good. So they're definitely one of them. And then I say the Texans, my team to go to the Super Bowl, are right there with them. I think the Texans can knock them off in a game late in January, and I think the Baltimore Ravens are also my team that I would include in there in terms of, are they elite? I say yes. They have too many things on offense that can win games in different ways. Those are my elite teams. The Steelers are right on the edge here with these other teams, and I would include, who would you include there?
Like I said earlier, I think there's not only nine teams that are playoff capable in the AFC.
All right, you're going to have
Bills, Jets.
Okay. Chargers.
Well,
yes.
Bills, Jets, and then 3 of 4 in the AFC North. I still think Cincinnati is playoff capable.
Well,
2 and 4.
2 and 4. They better not lose another game here soon. You're digging a hole that you may not get out of.
Houston and Indy, Kansas City and the Chargers.
You're going to put Indy in that group.
I mean, they're 3 and 3. They're a pretty good team. They beat the Steelers.
I know.
Don't think they're playoff capable?
I don't know. I don't.
If you want to cut it down by
Joe
one.
Joe Flacco, I would have to give, I give him a lot of respect for what he's doing, but is he going to be the guy carrying this team, or is it going to go back to Richardson, who was healthy yesterday and did not play?
Well, good question, but I think they're capable of going like 9-8. I haven't seen an AFC with as many teams that I this early, I think, have no chance. Miami, New England, Cleveland, Tennessee, Jacksonville, Denver, and the Raiders.
Yeah, there's a lot of them already have dropped out.
So you're saying there might only be 8. I just think the Steelers would have to really, really fall apart not to make the playoffs. They're going to be one of those 7 out of 8 or 9.
I'd like to see them win a division and bypass this, playing a wild card game at Buffalo or at Kansas City right off the bat.
I know, but the Ravens look really, really good, Bob. Now, injuries are obviously a factor the rest of the year, but this offense right now, this offense that has scored 28, 35, 41, and 30 the last 4 weeks, that Mark Andrews is an afterthought right now.
And he finally got a touchdown yesterday after
I know.
Likely has been getting most of the attention there. But
Likely's
Flowers,
become a player. Zay Flowers.
Game, they got a lot of weapons. And they also have, Justin Tucker, who hasn't been as good as you would expect him to be from long range, but he's still clutch when he has to be.
They are the team to beat in the AFC North, and I agree with you that there are three teams above the rest in the AFC, and that's obviously the Chiefs, the Texans, and the Ravens. Would you agree with that, Chris?
Yeah, I'd say so. I had the Steelers 10-7. I'm sticking there. Final wild card, staying with that. Also think Cincinnati's fine. I think the Chargers have a run in them, and that they could make some noise. I'm with Bob. Don't think the Colts are really that good. Like Anthony Richardson, they're better with Flacco. But that's not saying much.
Well, I didn't say they were really good. You guys don't think the Colts will be right around 8-8, 9 going into the final game, 7-8, 8-8, 8-7, 9-8, 8-9. I mean, I think they're good enough to do that, and that gets you in the playoffs maybe.
Yeah, I think that's what, again, though, you're in a position you don't want to be in. You'd rather win the division and not have to deal with that right off the bat.
Do you know who the Steelers would play right now, Bob, if they were?
Probably Kansas City or Buffalo.
Well, how does it work again? There's one seed who gets the bye
right
anymore. So it would be Texans, Ravens. Ooh, guess who they would play, Bob? A rematch against the Bills in Pittsburgh. How about them apples?
Yeah, well,
that would be a game they could win because the Bills stink.
But also it's a game that Josh Allen, can tear teams apart. I just want to stay away from, if it's in Pittsburgh, you would think that would help them, but track record over the last several games in Pittsburgh in the playoffs has not been very good either.
I think the Steelers are going to have a home playoff game this year. I think they're going to be the 4 seed in the AFC. I think the Chargers are good, but they beat them, so they have a tiebreaker. This Jets game is monumental. Like, where do the Jets go from here? Are they going to take off because of this coaching change or fall apart because maybe Rodgers is old? You know what I mean?
Well, he looked old last week, and I don't know what the dynamic is in the locker room and behind the scenes there, but if they win this game tonight, all of a sudden they jump a little higher. But I don't think they will win this game. I think there's too much consternation there. I think the Bills are going to win, and then the Jets will come in here, and the Steelers have a chance to put them among the group of teams you said that could be out before you get to the halfway point.
I don't think this AFC is very good this year, Bob.
No, the NFC, I think, is much deeper. So it's a good opportunity to be in this thing and change the direction of things have gone in the postseason.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob, I stand corrected, and I'm quite ashamed. If the season ended today, the Steelers would go back to Buffalo, not have a home game, because the Bills would be a division winner.
Yeah, we could see a rematch. I don't like that scenario again. I just don't.
No. Although, so that's why. I don't think they're very good. I think the AFC East stinks right now, and I think the NFC North is unbelievable right now. Would you agree?
Well, everyone is over 500 by two games. And there's a great matchup coming
even
up this
the Bears.
Week. Vikings and Lions. Sam Darnold, can he continue to do this?
Limits, think so. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. I have five Steeler questions. We took a look back at the first quarter of the season. We've talked a ton of quarterbacks today. Who's going to start? Who should start? I have five pertinent questions for the rest of the season. Let's take a look into the old crystal ball, the Lonzo ball, if you will, and he's coming back tonight, I might add, Bob. Question number one, who's going to quarterback the majority of the Steelers games the remainder of this season? Bob?
That's such a good question.
It's a great question, and thank you.
I'm going to the majority of games, I'm going to say Russell Wilson.
Chris?
I agree. I'm going to go with Russell Wilson as well. I can't get over the Chris thing.
I say Russell Wilson as well. I just think we're headed in that direction.
It won't be this week, but it will be soon.
I think it will be this week.
Okay.
I don't think it should be this week. I think it will be this week. The Steelers wind up with a home game in the playoffs. And part two of that question is they win a playoff game for the first time since Moby Dick was a minnow. In other words, 8 years.
I would say no to the home game, but yes to winning a game.
Ooh.
I'll say no to the home game as well. And right now I'm teetering maybe 51% that yes, they will win a playoff game.
Now, one of the wild cards does get a home game, correct?
Correct. But you have to be the top wild card team.
I think they will be. Okay. And thank you for asking, Bob. I think the Steelers get a home game, but don't win it. How do you like that?
That would be continuing the trend. It's not a good trend.
Well, wouldn't the wild card team have to have another team lose? Because, I mean, the number two seed will play the seven, the three seed will play
limits.
The six,
it's
the four will play the five.
It's getting too complicated for me. I don't think they're going to win a playoff game. You guys both do?
I do, on the road, the way they did yesterday. Defense, taking advantage of opportunities and not making mistakes.
Don't feel good about it, but I'll say yes.
All right. How do you think the Steelers fare with the Baltimore Ravens later this season, Bob? They sweep
split.
Them, they split, or they get
they
swept?
Split.
Wonder Twin?
I think they win both. They've owned the Ravens over the last couple of years.
I think they lose both. I think their luck against Lamar is going to run out. Did you see Lamar's all-time record, Bob? He's like 60-something and 20-something.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And they've played him well. I give them credit. But I also thought they got lucky in last year's game. The Ravens dropped like eight passes in that game. All right, next question. George Pickens settles into an all-pro type of season. Is that more likely or George Pickens completely imploding? Which is more likely, Bob?
I think it lies in between, neither. I'm going to go with just average numbers because they're not. I don't know how they're going to upgrade the rest of their wide receiving group. That's an unknown for me, so I'm going to say average, middle of the road.
I think there's a better chance that George Pickens succeeds, because if Russell Wilson ends up being the quarterback, just being a straight-up pocket passer, he's going to look for George Pickens more than anybody. And they're not utilizing Pat Freiermuth enough in this offense after paying him big money. So I would think that there's a better chance Pickens breaks out than not.
Next question. The Steelers will trade for a legit at least number two receiver before the trade deadline.
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
And who might it be, in your not-so-humble opinion?
You know, it's going to be probably a veteran guy who has maybe a year left on a deal. You know, the name DeAndre Hopkins keeps coming up, and you look for teams that are going to be out of it. There are going to be a lot of teams that are not in a position to compete for a playoff, and there are guys who are on those teams who may not be happy in those roles. So those teams, in an effort to get a pick, whatever the pick may be motivated to do it, and I think Omar Khan will swoop in and get somebody. I'm not sure who.
Twins?
Omar Khan is really aggressive, and he shoots for the stars, and he missed with Brandon Ayuk, and it doesn't seem like Devontae Adams is going to happen. I think he strikes out again.
Minka Fitzpatrick's next turnover will happen before the end of the season, Bob, and if so, when?
Yes, it'll happen in 2 weeks against Daniel Jones.
Bob stole my pick. Yes, he'll intercept Daniel Jones.
I think it might happen this weekend or next weekend against
Yeah, but Rodgers doesn't throw many unless it's, you know, even in his advanced stage here, he doesn't throw many interceptions.
All right, Bob, final question. Who's going to be the Steelers' rookie of the year? That's been thrown into a little bit of peril here. We all hope that Zach Fraser is okay. But, man, it seems like it would take a lot for him not to get back in a game. So who's going to be their rookie of the year? Fatanu's hurt. Fraser's hurt. Wilson's.
I'm going to say Beanie Bishop is an undrafted free agent.
Holy
I thought he made some good plays. He's been up and down, but Cam Sutton comes back, so that may affect his playing time. If it's not him, I'm then going to say Roman Wilson will come into the second half of the season and make some substantial plays to help a wide receiving core that needs help.
Holy bird follicles.
Beanie Bishop.
Beanie Bishop?
Well, how many rookies do they have?
Mason McCormick has been starting all year. Peyton Wilson had six tackles yesterday. Frazier might come back.
Beanie Bishop made well, I'm assuming you just said you don't know who.
What about Mason McCormick?
Okay, take an offensive lineman. That doesn't.
What about Peyton Wilson?
Okay, average so far. He's made some plays. I'm saying, you want to pick? I said Roman Wilson, he was active yesterday, didn't do much. I think in the second half of the season, he's going to play a role.
I like Bob's pick and the passion he put behind it.
I'm picking Peyton Wilson. I like what the rotation that they've utilized him in. Think he's going to have a bigger role, him and the tooth chipper.
I like Mason McCormick. He's been starting, and he's going to start one way or another the rest of the year, it looks like to me, and I think he's going to get better. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Limits.
And Chris.
Thank you, Joe.
Did you thank Bob?
Thank you, Pomp.
Did you thank Limits?
I thank Chris. I'll thank Limits.
No, Chris. And,
and then I'll thank Austin as well. He's got multiple personalities over there. I'm trying to keep up.
Did I do the 50-minute mark? Yes, I did. What's Cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
And let's finish for Bob after the weather. Bob, I want you to hear this with the combination of our Rick Springfield song, I've Done Everything for Malzi, knowing that Rick Springfield could come into the studio at some point before his show and judge these, or he may, we've put in a request through Rivers Casino that he would use Malzi's name for at least one time through in that song. Do you think that's going to happen, Bob?
Well, Derek Shelton used the incrinculant.
Yes, he did. That's why I think it could.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.